I now call to order the banquet for the opening of our 75th anniversary convention for the California Council of Blind. Have you had a great convention out there?
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. For our invocation this evening, we are pleased to have back with us. He was here last year, and we enjoyed him just as much as he enjoyed being here. Michael Contes from the Antelope Hill Seventh-day Adventist Church. Michael?
Thank you. I'm very honored to be here and to be with you. Last year was my first experience with the California Council of the Blind, and it was an incredible experience for me. I walked away just praising your organization and the people that are within it, the volunteers and everyone who supports this organization. You're incredible, and once again, I'm honored. I'd like to have a invocational prayer at this time. Father, we come to Thee now and we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming together. One thing is sure, and that is that You love us. And the next thing is that this organization and this ceremony this evening is incredible. Like, we come to Thee now and ask that Your hand be upon each and every one of us. Give us wisdom and understanding. We ask, Dear God, as we go forth this evening, that we understand Your will for us better, as well as being able to appreciate what each of us brings to the table to one another. May we be able to learn from one another, and may we be humble enough to be able to learn from one another. Be with us now. Blessing on the food and the entire ceremony. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, Pastor Contes. Very glad that you're here this evening. Okay, I'm going to introduce to you our MC. Now, as I do every year, I do some research about our erstwhile MC. Now, Linda Perrell, as you know, is from Boston. Now, her maiden name, she didn't know this, but her maiden name was Leo Flaherty, because all women from Boston are Irish, and all men are too, because that's all that live there is Irish, right? We know this. So, back in her younger days, when she could see a little better, Miss O'Flaherty was a cab driver. So one day, this guy gets in her cab and he taps her on the shoulder, and it scares the bejesus out of her. And she goes up over the curb because she hits the gas pedal, and she just barely misses going into a Macy's store window. And he says, "Oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to scare you." "Whoa," she says, "it's not your fault." And he says, "Oh, but it is. I tapped you on the shoulder, and I guess I just stalled you." She says, "No, no, I'm just not used to a cab. I drive a hearse for the last 10 years.
He's a comedian, that's right.
So, then she had a number of professions, all of them good ones, and she became, in her middle years, a police officer.
Another Irish.
And, yeah, that's right. And as Linda adds, another Irish profession. That's right. That is right. And at that point in her life, she dyed her hair blonde. So she was a blonde police officer, but a good one. A very good police officer. She went out one night, pulled someone over, and the woman, and she says to the woman, "You know, you're going a little fast." And she says, "I'm going to need to see some identification." The woman looks in her, and she's ruffled, you know, how you get when a police officer pulls you over, and so she can't find her identification. So she says, "Look, I can't find my license here, but I have a mirror, and you know, here, I'll show you that." So she pulls out her mirror. Linda looks, and she says, "Oh, if I'd known you were a police officer, I wouldn't have pulled you over." Just as well you did. They're making.
Ryan, I missed you. Was it? Oh. Oh, my God. Was that bad?
that bad. So.
This is fast turning into awake.
Linda Perrell is definitely one of the rising stars of this organization, and I am so proud to have her as our MC for the evening, and you're going to love the banquet that she is going to be our mistress of ceremonies for. So take it away, Linda Perrell.
Thank you, Jeff, your kindness itself. Of course, you could have been bringing me a pint of Guinness to have with my meal, but hey. Anyway, I am a quarter Irish. My grandmother was a Murphy and a mother before her, McCaffrey. Mostly I'm French-Canadian, eh? But here we are. There's room for everybody in CCB. It's an incredibly diverse organization. So thank you for welcoming this little girl from Maine and Massachusetts to your bosom and your hearts. Anyway, we're going to have some fun tonight. My first task, a happy one, is to introduce the head table. But of course, in head table tradition, the players get switched around. I get a Braille list. It is not updated, and there are several switches. But I'll do my best, and if someone isn't who I announce them to be, they can correct me. Let's see. Is it right to left? Oh, it doesn't matter. On one end, we're all blind anyway. On one end of this table, there's a lovely couple from the Silicon Valley chapter. Stalwarts, pillars of the community. But they have switched places. Bernice is first, Bernice Kandarian. And Roger Peterson, that's right. Roger Kandarian, that's right. Yeah. And next to Roger, Dan, are you still sitting where I left you? Good, okay, good. We have our former governmental affairs director, Dan. He couldn't keep away, so here he is again. Beside Dan is Dan Kaiser, is his very lovely wife, Ann Kaiser. Dan. Okay. Now, I'm hoping that my next announcement is correct. Mariko Yamada?
Yes, very good. You speak Japanese.
But I think you missed her husband.
Oh, yes, I heard there was a husband present, and I guess they found a seat for him.
He's there. Jan Lee Wong.
Jan Lee Wong, Mr. Wong. And Miss Yamada.
Yep.
Miss Yamada is the person who brazenly stole Dan away from us.
Boy, I'm in trouble.
And it is her. It is her again. And we are very happy to have you both here, and look forward to hearing you speak later this evening. Welcome. Next to Mariko is Mr. Laya Pants on Fire. Jeff Tom. Yes, you do. Next to Jeff is, that police woman. And next to me, and I had to introduce myself to him, is Eric Bridges, our special guest from the National Office, Director of Governmental Affairs for ACB.
Yes.
And next to Eric is the First Lady of ACB, our unaccompanied terrorist for the evening, Donna Pomeranz. All right. Next to Donna, is it Pastor Contes?
An empty chair.
Yes. Mrs. Contes couldn't come because the 7-year-old needed attention. So Pastor Contes came on his own. So Pastor Michael Contes, Seventh-day Adventist Antelope Hills Church, thank you again for coming. And holding up the other half of the sky at the other end of the table are two more pillars of the CCB community.
Right.
Artist Bazin and Kevin Bazin. No, if anybody ever told me your last name, Kevin, it didn't register.
He doesn't remember it anymore.
That's all right. He won't need it. He won't need it for much longer, I hear. So, no, I don't. No. I have to say that I have deeply contradicting orders for this evening. Everyone that I have talked to, oh, Linda, you're doing the banquet. Keep it short. I hear some applause. And then I get this wonderful long list of things, none of which can be cut, all of which need our full attention. Mm-hmm. And therefore, unfortunately, I'm going to have to ignore the request to keep it short. But individuals can quietly fade away at their own pace. However, please don't, because we have a wonderful, wonderful program in store for you this evening. We're going to start with the presentation, and it says of a scholarship winner. Is it winner or winners?
Winner.
Winner. Oh, good. All right. Jeff Tom will present. It's a scholarship winner.
Okay. Excuse me. As you know, we provide scholarships to, and I'm really speaking on behalf of Coletta, and let me start by doing that. I'm speaking on behalf of the chair, Coletta Davis, and her very fine committee. I know I'm supposed to keep this short, but I'm going to take a couple of moments just to say they are really an outstanding committee. You know, we've been trying to, you know, cut in every way possible, and so last time they did a teleconference, sort of an all-day marathon teleconference, and they did just an outstanding job. We give scholarships in all categories from freshman through graduate school. We have many of our scholarship winners come in the fall and in the spring. This time we are honoring one who was not able to make it to our fall convention but is here today. James Forbes, who is let's hear it for James.
Yay.
He is president of our Humboldt chapter. He is attending Humboldt State, and where he is completing a BS in administration. And I want to read a little bit of James' essay that he presented to us. My goal this upcoming semester is to complete my bachelor's in science degree in business administration with a concentration in management. I will then be applying for the master's program in social work at Humboldt State University.
You made
our keynote speaker thrilled, and her husband as well, I do believe. So you just struck gold. In fact, there's a move that you should replace me up at the head table immediately. Which I'm agreeing with, actually. I have been in contact with the head of the department, and I have shared my ideas with him. My Bachelor of Science will be sufficient units to enter this program. I hope to work for the Department of Rehabilitation locally or in another complementary position on the county or city level. Excuse me, I'm trying to read with one hand while holding this mic. I will be equipped to become employed as a social worker and will have the skills to manage an office or business. Besides my employment goals, I also enjoy nonprofit advocacy work, such as my position with the Humboldt Council of the Blind. This experience has been a public relations, been a public relations workshop for me, and I appreciate the knowledge which I have gained from it. I also perform on a semi-pro level as a musician, recording and selling CDs and touring the West Coast when not in school. I play bass and sing in two different bands. I act as promoter, booker, and marketer for both bands. My wife and two boys also enjoy it when I find time for them. I couldn't do it without them. Sincerely, James Forbes. James, you want to say a few words? Maybe we ought to hear a few words from his wife.
Yes, really.
I'd like to thank the CCB for the scholarship, and I'd like to really thank, I understand I'm here, Peggy Martinez is the person who really mentored me and trained me in pretty much everything except orientation and mobility when I lost my sight about 6 years ago. So she pretty much groomed me for my position I'm in now and gave me my advocacy knowledge and my edge that I have to, you know, do the things I've done up there at Humboldt. And since she's gone now, there really is a lack of services, so I really hope that I make it into the MSW program here and, you know, can continue her work and, you know, the work for the blind and visually impaired up there and keep it going with CCB because, you know, people move on. The younger members need to move up. I know that's difficult, but there's plenty of them around, and so you need to motivate them a little bit, I think. So thanks a lot for the scholarship, though, for the CCB. It's totally awesome. I really appreciate it. Thanks. There you go.
Okay, there's one question I want to ask James. Joss reads your email address in a very interesting way, and I just sort of want to know what it refers to.
Well, I have several email addresses. Is it the Buffy Swayze?
That one, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my bands, and I've been playing it for a few years, yeah.
The Buffy Swayze.
The Buffy Swayze. So, yeah, it says Swayze, but it's half Buffy the Vampire Slayer, half Patrick Swayze.
Got it, the Buffy Swayze. Cool. All right, thank you. I'm dying to know that. All right, next on our agenda is a very serious financial matter. The chapter donations. And that'll be head up by our own Ed Branch. So,
okay.
Ed?
Yes. We received at the convention $200 for the general fund from the Bayview chapter. Yay. Yes, go ahead. Applaud. Yeah. And $200 for the general scholarship fund from the San Gabriel Valley chapter.
Woo-hoo!
Is there anyone in the audience who has got a checkbook or wants to make a pledge for your chapter's donation? I'll bring you the mic and you can announce it.
Well, thank you, Ed. This is John Glass from the Silicon Valley chapter. And my fiance, Susan Schulter, and I would like to personally make a donation to CCB's general fund in the amount of $1,000. Thank you.
Jeff wants to respond.
That, you know, these are difficult times for all of us, and certainly for CCB as well. And I certainly want to thank not only the chapters for doing what they've done for Bayview and San Diego, but also San Gabriel, sorry, but also for the very, very generous donation that you, Don, and Suzanne have. Is it Don? What? John, I'm sorry. It's late in the weekend. My book share will never be renewed again at this. Thank you both for your very generous donation.
Yes.
Okay, Ed, are you still wandering about, or is that it?
No, that's it.
Okay. Next up is Artist Basin with the membership awards.
You have a mic in front of you.
Yes, I do.
Okay, it's my pleasure to first tell you about the Chapter of the Year winner. This year, we had an easy decision, which is not a good thing. We only had one entry. So the winner of the Chapter of the Year award is the San Francisco chapter. Their project of their chapter is to do fundraising for an annual scholarship that they give to someone who needs any type of educational type of material, whether it's technology or whatever they need, and they fundraise together as a chapter to give this award. And they recently changed the name of the award in the past year to the Alice Chavez Pardini Award for their former member. I want to encourage all chapters to work on a project throughout the year. And any project you do as a chapter where you benefit the lives of people in your community would qualify for the Chapter of the Year award. And if you'd like to know about some of the winners in the past to get an idea of some of the projects that have been turned in, please let me know and I'd be glad to tell you some of the projects that have come forward in past years. Because we'd really like to see more chapters apply. Last year we had 7 applicants.
Wow.
But this year we only had 1. So I commend the San Francisco chapter for sending in their submission. The second award, or wait a minute, Delinda, do you want to say something?
I just want to personally thank Frank Welty for submitting our nomination. Okay,
the second award.
Artist?
Yes.
We have the plaque. Could we hear it?
Yeah. Evening, everybody. This is Eric Skivers.
Go ahead.
I wanted to read the print on the plaque for everybody so you know what it says. It says, California Council of the Blind Chapter of the Year Award 2008 to the San Francisco Chapter of the California Council of the Blind for the establishment of its Alice Chavez Pardini Education Advancement Award Fund, which raises funds to award a grant annually to a visually impaired student for some educational purpose, such as access technology. Presented this fourth day of April 2009 in Sacramento, California.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Eric. The second award I really like to give is to the chapter who has the highest percentage of growth from the spring of the previous year until the spring of this year. And this year, the award goes to the East LA chapter.
All right.
They increased their membership from 28 to 35, so they have the highest percentage of growth. Louis, would you like to say something?
Never. Impossible.
What can I say? Except, viva la raza! No, actually, it's more than that. It's a great pleasure. It's been an honor to serve as president of East LA chapter. And I know that they want me to continue on, but since this is my last year as president, I hope to be instrumental in launching a couple other projects that I've been discussing with other people. But there's more to come. So anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you, and let's continue moving forward.
Thank you, Louie. And I encourage all of you chapters to work on membership so you can win an award next year. Thank you.
Thank you so much, artist. That is always such fun. And thank you, Louie. Okay, the next is the Publications Award. To award them is Bernice Kandarian.
Good evening. The Publications Committee has done writers' workshops and several things to try to encourage more of you to submit articles for the Blind Californian. And we did have a couple new ones this year, but we needed more. So please, please, if you have a story that you would like to tell, but you don't feel confident in writing it on your own, you can contact any member of the Publications Committee, and we will be glad to help you, because we want to hear all of your stories. I want to give you a little background on how we come up with the winners for the Publications Awards. I go through the list of all of the table of contents for the Blind Californian for the four issues that are in the previous year. And if anybody wanted to submit a nomination, they're certainly welcome to. The Blind Californian is not the only source of articles for consideration. So I send out a memo to all the Publications Committee members, and they are to give 3 points for their first choice, 2 points for their second choice, and 1 point for their third choice in each of the two categories, best lifestyle article or best issue-oriented article. And they send those back to me, and I tabulate them. And they don't know yet who the winners are, but they will in a moment. The other thing I would like to do is give honorable mention to some of the articles that, the scores get kind of close. And I wanted to give the recognition to, in the best issue-oriented category, History in Progress by Catherine Skivers, and Some Notes on Delegates by Jerry Kunstler. But this year's award for best issue-oriented article goes to Deborah Norling Armstrong for 21st Century Cooking. Yes. It was published in the fall, BC in the fall, and it's presented this fourth day of April in Sacramento. And Deborah is not here to receive her award, but we will see that she receives it. The other thing that was different about this year is that when people sent in their scores, they made comments, and they were just invaluable comments. And people felt that this article was something that we deal with pretty much on a day-to-day basis. And I thought that was an interesting comment. Okay, for the best lifestyle article for 2008, the honorable mentions go to Keeping Busy in the High Desert by Doris Barnhouse, and San Gabriel Valley Chapter Sales by Donna Pomerantz. And this year's winner goes to Cecil Betts for My Life-Saving Pain. And I want to say that I did try to reach Deborah, and I was unable to before the convention. But I did reach Cecil Betts, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about her because I think you've seen a number of her articles in the Blind Californian. She used to live in Alaska, and she has written a book, and she writes frequently. Cecil told me she celebrated her 91st birthday in November. She has never been able to attend one of our conventions. However, she did serve on the publications committee for a while. And she said, why don't you come and visit me? I said, okay, next time I'm down there, I will. She's still very active. She has a bad heart, and she was diagnosed with lung cancer in 2006, and she had surgery in 2007. And everything was going well until about 6 months ago. The cancer has reoccurred in an inoperable place. And she teaches bridge and to people that are visually impaired, and she's enjoying, you know, as full a life as she can. She said, and I quote, you know, the ironic thing about this whole damn mess is that she said, all my life I've had to be careful about low sodium, low fat, you know, low sugar, all of this. She said, now, she said, I can eat anything I want because in the long run, it doesn't matter. So I hope I don't leave anybody out, but I want to thank the members of the publications committee, and I want to start with, Julie Cantrell, Evelyn Drury, Winifred Downing, Brian Hall, and Brian Hall has asked to be inactive for a while because he now has a four-month-old son, and Lewis Preston, Bonnie Rennie, Richard Retta, Catherine Schmidt Whitaker. Oh, I left out my new members, Donna Pomerantz and Lynn Laird, and our webmaster Joel Isaac, and then the, you know, people who are considered paid staff don't vote, but our editor Mike Keithley. Okay, thank you very much, and please, I want to encourage you to contribute those articles.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Bernice. That article on 21st century cooking was fabulous. I even told Mike Keithley that that person should get the award. So I'm very glad that she did. Okay, and now, the inimitable, the irreplaceable, Catherine Skivers will hand out awards.
I need some help with this mic. Yeah. Before we begin our part of the presentation, Bernice, did you intend to have your publications awards read? They're here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I did.
I think it'd be nice to recognize what we were saying to the ladies.
Yes.
Eric?
No. I'm sorry, Eric. I always like you to do that.
Okay, I'll read the first one. California Council of the Blind Publications Award Best Lifestyle Article of 2008 to Cecil Betts for My Life Saving Pain. The Blind Californian, winner 2008, presented this fourth day of April 2009 in Sacramento. And the California Council of the Blind Publications Award Best Issue Oriented Article of 2008. Deborah Norling Armstrong for 21st Century Cooking in the Blind Californian Fall Issue 2008.
And that's those. I believe Bernice is planning to take those. Bernice, you said you want to take those two with you, too.
No, those need to be mailed. A lot of it is Deborah's. The Cecil's needs to be mailed.
Okay, would you get together and tell me after so we make sure that Ed gets the ones that have to be mailed? I'm Kathy Skivers. I am the Awards and History Chair. The Membership and Awards Committee is made up of Gussie Morgan, who can't be with us. She's in Southern California. Her husband is seriously ill, and she herself isn't getting along too well, I'm told. Chris Gray, Roger Peterson, Bernice Kandarian, Joe Smith, Don Queen, and, of course, all the way from the state of Washington, Al Gill. I want to thank all of the very fine people who sent in selections. I asked last year that you write out something so that we do the commemorative plaques, we can say something meaningful, and you really did a job. In fact, my problem is now being able to pick out enough of the things to talk about. There are going to be 6 awards be given for this 2009 year. 5 are going to be given at this convention right now, but there's a surprise one going to happen in the fall. So you can all wonder when you go to Fresno who's going to be getting it and why they didn't get it here. And nobody on the awards committee had best tell you. Our first award is going to be a Community of Service Award. This is an award presented annually to a blind or visually impaired individual who, through his or her association activities, has demonstrated integration into the and interaction with the life of the community. This year's winner seems to have done the whole thing. In the early 90s, this person discovered that there were not enough specialized services in his area, and he heard that the place, the very place they had was open, was going to close because of lack of funds. So he asked the executive committee to take him from being a volunteer to being the person's company's executive director, and they did that. And so he got obtained a grant from Riverside to pay for the one-room service that they had at that time called Business Support Services, and they occupied that. And from that humble beginning, he got a grant from Riverside to pay for that one room. And from that, he went on to build the Business Service Enterprises, or Service says into a program which serves newly blinded persons from the Inland Empire and other areas into an orientation of ability, skills of daily living, braille, computer skills, and physical fitness. They provide programs for the senior blind in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. It provides programs for blind and visually impaired children in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. Has entered into partnerships with private groups as part of creating apartment complexes. As a result, has training centers at 2 different apartment complexes in Riverside. Obtained funds from Riverside County to provide mobility training. Established the business service team, which consists of blind and visually impaired clients who train for physical fitness and have participated in the 2007 Los Angeles Marathon and several other half marathons since taking the courses as a team, and has purchased a building which houses the executive offices at Riverside. They're not in one little room anymore, I'm told. When this gentleman graduated from the University of California, Riverside, and took several courses in nonprofit corporation building and funding, and then lately, the thing that he's running one of the best agencies we have in the state, and currently he has just been put into the chairmanship of the Blind Advisory Committee of the Department of Rehabilitation. If by now you figure it out who it is, I'm going to tell you that we are proud to present a plaque to someone who isn't here, but Charles Navarrete is going to accept it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a round of applause for Peter Benavides.
And before I give this to Charles, I'm going to read it. California Council of the Blind Community Service Award to Peter Benavides, Executive Director of Blindness Support Services, whose leadership and ingenuity brought about acquisition of state and county funding and other necessary community support, enabling the agency to provide essential specialized services to the blindness community of Riverside County and the surrounding area. And I'll give it to you, Charles.
On behalf of the Board of Directors of the Blind Support Services, I accept this award for Peter. We're very proud of the work he's done And as Kathy said, he has brought this program in 14, 15 years to the point where, you know, we serve blind and visually impaired individuals in both San Bernardino and Riverside County, and also have other programs such as the Team BSS. And he's been a dynamic fundraiser who has taken his vision and made it a reality. He couldn't be here because of the economic problems that the organization is having. He, along with the rest of the staff, he cut his salary along with the rest of the staff because it didn't feel it was right for him not to cut his own pay if he didn't pay cut if he had to cut the pay for the staff. And in past years, he's used his own credit to keep the organization going. So I'm really happy that he has been given this award, and it's richly deserved. Thank you.
Yes, Nellie.
Hi, everybody. I would like to acknowledge the fact that Peter Benavides has done a tremendous amount of work in growing blindness support services. But I wanted to clear something up. The individuals who incorporated blindness support services and got the initial community development block grant for the office that was not a one-room office, but actually a large office complex in Riverside, are right here in the room. Ed and Christy Crespin and Nellie Emerson and three other individuals who were on the steering committee, Catherine Richter, Steve Northup, and Leonard Garcia. Those were the people who initiated blindness support services, not Peter Benavides.
You know, I don't argue.
Thank you very much.
You know, I don't argue with that, but I will tell you that one of the causes of the budget problems that BSS is having is, and it's a problem for all blind agencies across the state. The BFS counselors, and you know who you are not referring clients to blindness support, to Center for Partially Sighted, Living Skills Center, or the Sensory Access Foundation. They keep sending them to independent living centers. And if you continue to do that, you're going to kill some of the best programs for the blind in California. So, you know.
It's democracy.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, nobody in the award or the awards committee and nobody else implied that there was never anything happening there. What we said was that if everything was closing, that's the information that our letter was given. And I think it's inappropriate if there's some difficulties among the various factions in a group to come forward at a time when someone's receiving. That's totally inappropriate. And I'm going to tell you, if anybody ever asks me when I'm doing awards again, if they can have the advance notice, no, you cannot have the mic. I'm sorry. I'm not, it's a one way or the other. I just feel that this is a happy time. This is a, and you have to give the man credit. He's done a lot. And it was closing. I haven't entered anybody's. It didn't run out of money. I know all about running out of money. That happens in my house all the time.
All right, moving along.
No. We're going to move on now to the Distinguished Service Award, which is given periodically to an outstanding blind or visually impaired person who has contributed significantly to the betterment of blind people in general. The recipient of this award need not be a member of the council. The one receiving this award deserves this award very much. We've all known him for many of years. He's known well to all of us, many of us. He doesn't know about this evening. Hold that there. He doesn't know about this evening because he doesn't know that he's getting an award, and he's not even here. because he, Ranson, Missouri, is celebrating his 40th wedding anniversary with his wife. However, that's not why we're giving him the award. This person quietly has done an awful lot to help blind and disabled people for 50 years. He was a vending stand operator for 30 years, and he went on to head the game executive director in 1995, and he taught a lot of kids about a lot of things in the vending program. I've known him for 50 years, and I've seen him do a lot of helping financially with people who were having a hard time. Never mind that he went out there and taught them a lot about how to be vendors and how to get into their community. And he encouraged them, and he worked with them. And then he got some young people and veteran vendors together, and he was instrumental in establishing the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, which joined CCB and worked hard to protect and preserve their program. And the appointment as BEP was in 1959. He currently administers a program in DOR that assists the senior citizens, and he served on countless state, local, national task forces and committees for the Business Enterprise Program and other services which blind people really need. He works now with rehab as a senior, but he also helps the blind advisory committee tremendously. He keeps track of our minutes for us, and he does all kinds of work, and he really is for blind people, and I just wish he could be here, but he can't be, and so I'm going to ask Jill Xavier to come up and accept this plaque for Joe Smith.
I'm going to read this plaque before I give the mic over to you, Joe. California Council of the Blind Distinguished Service Award to Joe Smith, who worked for 30 years as a vendor in the Business Enterprise Program, mentoring countless other vendors and potential vendors, was instrumental in the organization of the Randolph Shepherd Vendors of California, became state administrator of the program, and continues to serve the blindness community and to be a role model in his successful career in state service. There you go, Joe.
Well, thank you. On behalf of Joe Smith, I'd like to accept this award for him, but a couple of very quick words about Joe. Those of you that know him know that he's not the one that wanted to be up here accepting an award. Somehow he manages to be in Branson. Joe is the one that if you needed something done, you needed a project to get moved forward, he's the one that would take it on. He's not the one that would ever stand at the front of the room. He didn't take the credits. He did the work. But for those of us who he touched, he taught us something that was very valuable that the council, I believe, supports and is very appreciative is, particularly for the young vendors, and I being one of those vendors, and there's a few others here in the room, that being a BEP vendor and being a member of the blind community was not just BEP. It was a responsibility to a larger organization, to CCB, to the other organizations in the state and nationally. Joe always believed that it was a greater good to be of service to the greater body, and this award, I believe, reflects that for him, so thank you very much.
Okay, let's go. I always tease those guys. Joe Xavier is quite often with Joe Smith, and Joe Xavier now has, he is an executive director, I think it is, of a, I'm giving you a promotion here, I think, Joe. Give me your title, Joe. Do you hear that? Independent Living and External Affairs. No wonder I couldn't remember it. Joe Kobus. I, however, call Joe, when I see Joe and Smith and Joe Xavier together, I have for years called them the Joe and Joe Corporation. The Humanitarian Award is granted to an individual or organization that has assisted blind people in general, or CCB, and its affiliates in particular, to an extraordinary degree. The recipient may be blind or sighted. We have two people this time in this category, And to talk to you about the first one, I'm going to ask Roger Peterson to take over. Roger, I have to say, is one of the hardest working people I've ever known. All the committee members work, but Roger Bernice really worked. Roger was in my position as a ward's chair, and he gave it up, he thought. And then I became chair, and being a dinosaur without a computer, he keeps right on working, and he just is just a godsend to me and to most anybody that he needs his help. Now, after that, Roger Peterson, it's yours.
Oh, shucks. Listen, I can't talk very well tonight. I have somebody at this convention gave me a terrible cold. But I just want to say, on behalf of this person that we're honoring, you know, Braille transcribers, and specifically volunteer Braille transcribers, are getting to be a vanishing breed. And I've heard it said that the average age is like 80-something among the Braille transcribers, because nowadays, you know, couples have both have jobs and stuff. They don't have... The ladies don't have time to be Braille transcribers, and so now we have paid transcribers and we have prison inmates and other things, but we don't have our, we're losing our wonderful Braille transcribers. One of those that we're honoring today is a lady who is 80-something, 84, I think.
Yes.
She is from Los Altos, California. And Woodside, one of those upscale places. She has been a person who has done not just Braille transcribing, but complicated tactile maps and graphics and mathematical notation and so forth. And she's been able to help many professionals and educators and students get through their, you know, their college and go on to be to with their careers. We've a number of times had her at meetings where she helped to, where she showed us all of her tactile graphics tricks and everything. And anyway, we love her. She now, she's telling us that she now has lung cancer, although she said, "I'm still driving, so if you want me to come and pick up the plaque from you, I can do that." She said, "I drive myself to the chemotherapy." This lady, her name is Jane Corcoran.
I'll go ahead and read the plaque for Jane. It says, California Council of the Blind Humanitarian Award to Jane Corcoran, whose many years of transcribing Braille, especially mathematics and tactile graphics, mentoring and teaching other transcribers, and serving on committees to develop techniques and standards have enabled countless blind students and professionals to successfully pursue their education and careers.
This is Bernice, and Jane Corcoran asked that I accept her plaque on her behalf. I wanted to say that Jane has done brailing. When I've had an opportunity to have a little time between engraver and convention, which is rare, she has brailed what is on some of our plaques and put it, you know, on an adhesive, clear sheet of adhesive with an adhesive back, so that a person could put it on the back of their plaque, so they would know what it said. And she's done a number of things like that in a number of events for us. When we told her that she was receiving this award, she said, "Oh, that's lovely," she said, "but I don't deserve it." The lady has been a transcriber for 44 years. She started in 1965, and she's been very dedicated. When Roger said Los Altos, she sort of lives in the transcription office that's in the what we call North County of Santa Clara County, and they have an office in Los Altos. we've gone in there on occasion, and it's amazing. Some of you know Ken Smith also. They're in there, and the printers are going like crazy, and they're doing their thing, and they've just been tireless workers and done so much for the blindness community. And so on behalf of Jane Corcoran, I accept this plaque.
Thank you very much, Bernice and Roger. The second humanitarian award kind of surprised us. This person was nominated by a whole chapter. Wow. And you'll be glad to hear that I'm not going to read what each one said. But he is, and I've given it away, and now I already told you it's a he. That's what you get when you try to read Braille and so on. Anyway, this recipient not only was a member of this chapter that has nominated him for this award, but he was a founding member of that chapter in the early 90s. And he also was involved with the establishment of the Earl Baum Center in Santa Rosa, which is such a great, outstanding. He was one of the primary movers of that center, and so he's well known in the community as well in his membership. And since many of the members have come through programs at the Earl Baum Center and joined the chapter, so they kind of have used, use is the wrong word, been able to encourage people to go from one group to the other. And he's also established walkabouts to connections to the city. And they also, these walks are ongoing chapters and have resulted in many changes in the city. An installation of audible signals removing sidewalk planners. Boy, I'm all for that one. He continues to teach a class on travel during each semester and adjust to people, help them adjust to vision loss. And he's an invaluable resource when it comes to looking for youngsters, blind youth who are having a difficult time and need to have some time spent with somebody who can talk to them about their experiences in the world as a blind person. His groups to his group, I think everybody's probably going to know who this is pretty soon. He has a wonderful piece of property that has a great big place where you could have a picnic for 50 people. I've been down there, and the one thing I find about him, he sometimes doesn't want to be too cooperative. I tried to get him to a poker game when I told him how much I liked his property. And you know what? He wouldn't do it. They've named a month in the chapter after this gentleman, and when I tell you the name, you'll know what it is. He was responsible for the getting of the George Fogarty Memorial Scholarship Life Endowment Fund, which has served blind families, and it's been going on for 5 years. And they raise their money, and they do go to the human race. And he's walked every year and done all this to help out. And 75% of that money goes to this fund. He's an inspiration to, I think, all of us, and he certainly is an inspiration to them. It's been my pleasure to work with him when I was on the Earl Baum Center. And I love every one of the awards we give. I'm so proud to be a part of it. But I really, really am happy to give this award. And he is here to Larry Swenson.
I'll read this while you're making your way over, Larry. California Council of the Blind Humanitarian Award to Larry Swenson, who was one of the principal founders of the Earl Baum Center of the Blind in Santa Rosa, has used his farm as a venue for social events as well as teaching and outdoor experiences for people who are blind and visually impaired, has worked with local governments to install accessible pedestrian signals and remove sidewalk obstacles in the area, and has spent untold time and effort in outreach to the blind and visually impaired youth of the community.
Well, the one thing I'm glad of is you didn't actually tell people what those people in the chapter said about me. And I hope.
I just read it.
Oh, no. Well, thank you all so much. I'm very, very proud of this. And, you know, my life was turned around when I met Ellen Jenkins at the Orientation Center. And I got a new life. Through the blind, you know, all you people, all the new friends I made, and I'm very happy. Thank you.
Amen. Hold them. Is somebody going to hold this for me? They always give it to me first. I don't understand that. Be happy to hear I'm running down. And Linda will be happy that she may get her program back tonight. Our final presentation is a CCB Merit Award, which is given to an individual who provides outstanding volunteer service to CCB, its chapters or affiliates. This person has done all that. He came highly recommended while she wasn't here to help us with this award. She had, I know, would have approved of it because she thought this was a pretty good person. You know, Rhonda King is who we lost on Valentine's Day, and I'm thinking of her, and I know she always loved us very much. And whether it's in his chapter or in the home or at the home members of, I'm sorry, homes of members, he's always helpful, and he helps his convention. Where there is something to be done, this person is willing to do it, and he can be counted on to get the job done too, whatever it is. He's one of our sighted members. I might kind of give you a clue who it might be if I say that he has to do with electricity and does some electrical work. And I bet I'm going to give it all away when I tell you that he really is the unofficial bartender of this California. By now you have to know it's Lonnie King.
California Council of the Blind Merit Award to Lonnie King, who has devoted countless hours in supportive activities of the California Council of the Blind and its capital chapter, including solving electrical problems, driving, reading, shopping, and often serving as CCB's official bartender.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. My everything was always done, of course, because of Rhonda, I think, and she was my partner, and we never got anything done unless we did it together. So I think maybe this all part of this also belongs to her. So thank you very much.
You know, before we go on, I just want, most of you don't know this. I mean, you know how many incredible things Lonnie has done. But whenever any of you go into the CCB office, you will know that the wiring would probably have not even been there had Lonnie not gone in personally and wired that office up. So, you know, he saved us an incredible, not only amount of money, but an incredible amount of time by going in and helping us out. Never asked for any recognition. You know, Lonnie was always there when we needed him, so I am so thrilled that you've given him this award. Thank you, Lonnie.
In conclusion, I just want to say to you all, I know that it takes time to give these awards, but you know, we have an awful lot of wonderful people in this organization, and we know people that help with us. And if we can't take the time to sit down with them and tell them how much we appreciate them and how much we all appreciate each other, then we're not doing what we ought to be doing. So this is a proud thing for our committee. On behalf of the committee myself, I want to thank you for the letters you sent in and from the wonderful people you are that got these awards and the rest of you. Thank you.
All I have to say to that is amen. Thank you, Kathy, and you're 1,000% right. All we have is time to show each other how much we care. Now, it's my great pleasure to introduce our keynote speaker. I'm doing it sort of without a net because I was not given a bio.
Oh.
However, Representative Mariko.
Oh, the first mistake was made. Dan Kaiser was supposed to provide the body. We'll see you in the office tomorrow, Dan.
Well, you know, the always apologize for your mistakes, right? That you'll go far, Dan, that way. Yeah. So, all right. So, but I have an intriguing question for you, Mariko.
Okay. Yes.
You and your husband seemed very excited when James Forbes said he was going into social work. As a social worker, my question is, why? And I'm going to hand the microphone to you.
Thank you.
And we look forward to hearing your presentation.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everyone. Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for inviting me this evening. And yes, to my right, but not politically, is my husband, Jan Lee Wong. We are both social workers and very proud to be. And I know there are social workers in the room, and we're going to sign up this young man as soon as he gets admitted, and we'll make sure that he gets the student rate at NASW, National Association of Social Workers. You know, being the keynote speaker after dinner and about, what, a couple hours into the program, you run the real risk of putting people to sleep. And so what I'm going to do is just make my remarks very, very brief so that also we can get to the rest of those raffle prizes. But what I wanted to say this evening is that I feel very, very privileged to join you this evening as your keynote speaker. And when I first got the letter of invitation to join you, I was, you know, both honored as well as a little worried that you might be mad that I had taken Dan Kaiser from your organization to come to work for me as my senior legislative assistant. But I know that you have found a wonderful new advocate, Frank Welty. And so basically, Dan, you know, the message here is that we're all replaceable. And that also includes me. You know, I am now a veteran of 125 days as a member of the California State Assembly. And as I was chatting here with your president, Jeff Tom, you know, I come from an organization that has an approval rating of about 12% right now. And so hopefully we won't go too further down the scale there. I hope that there will be opportunities for the legislature to show that we can be a better organization. But I have joined service at the state level at a very, very challenging time. And I know each one of you in this room has already faced many challenges, additional challenges in your lives, in your families, and in your communities. And I want to applaud you for your courage and your strength, your commitment, your perseverance, and your determination to basically just say, hey, you know, I'm here, and I should be treated with the same respect, equal respect, that any other individual in our midst should be. And my decision to have Dan join my staff, and that was certainly also at his expression of interest. You know, Dan and I think first met each other about 10 years ago or so. Was that right, Dan? When I was still a staff member at the Yolo County Board of Supervisors, and then I became a member of the Board of Supervisors. And Dan and I initially worked together on the implementation of HAVA, not HAVA Nagila, but Help Americans Vote Act, okay? I know we're just through Passover now, so, you know, but HAVA was an interesting challenge for county government, for state government, and Dan and I worked on the local level in Yolo County as members of the Voter Technology Advisory Committee to ensure that we were following the spirit and the intent of the law, but that we would also not give up our local rights to choose the voting system that would both preserve the integrity of the ballot as well as, you know, follow the spirit and intent of the law to allow independent voting for people with disabilities. And I believe, you know, it was a good process. There was a few, you know, times in which, as we even saw this evening, there are differences of opinion and different perspectives, but that at the end we all come together because we know that when we work together for the common good and for activities that will benefit the most people, that that's what we should be striving for. And so we do, I think, believe that Yolo County has been a leader in ensuring the integrity of the vote. Having said that, you know, I'm not sure it's easy to follow the bartender as the awardee, and I'm not going to go on too much longer, except to say that I have a very short time to serve. You know, I call it being a temporary guest in the People's Hotel at the California Legislature. At best, in a term-limited environment, we have 6 years to serve. That's only 72 months. And, you know, it takes a little while to find out where the bathroom is and, you know, figure out, you know, who's who and what's what. But with Dan joining us and also the rest of our staff, I'm very proud of my staff. We have both experienced as well as new and young people that we know are going to be nurtured and will grow and will continue to help us advance the both legislative and personal and political ideals that I carry with me as a professional social worker. I am the only social worker in the legislature with a MSW. There is one other member of the legislature, Mary Salas, who has her bachelor's degree in social work. I am probably the only one, however, that makes it a point to remind everyone what my profession is. I don't see that many people in elected leadership who do possess a social work background stand up and identify them first, you know, identify ourselves first and foremost as social workers. I think we need more social workers in elected service. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, you know, you never know there after you finish your bachelor's degree and your master's degree over there, you might be considering running for office. You know, you never know. So I want to thank you again for inviting me this evening. I do want to remind everyone that we do have a special election on Tuesday, May 19th. There are many ballot measures there that I refer to as it's a Jengu puzzle ballot measure. The Jengu puzzle, for those of you that remember Jengu at all, were a series of sticks that you would pile and stick on top of each other and try to make a structure out of it. And then the rest of the game was you would start pulling the sticks out. And whoever, you know, pulled the stick out that the structure collapsed was it, I guess. I look at the ballot measures 1A through 1F as kind of our budget Jengu puzzle. And I'm not going to say one way or the other, since this is a 501c3 organization I'm speaking to tonight, as to what you should do, you know, how you should vote. That is up to you. You should always vote your conscience because that's the only way you can respect your vote. But I will say that it was one of the most difficult endeavors that I've ever engaged in, to live through this first 125 days wrestling with this horrible, horrible budget. There were votes that I took that I thought I would, you know, be sick to my stomach over, frankly, some of them, and some votes that I voted no on and or stayed off of because I would not cut human services. It's just against my core. So, but, you know, sometimes you pay a price when you do not follow along with what you're told to do. But as my husband well knows, I hardly ever do what I'm told anyway. So I just want you to be sure to study the ballot measures, understand that whatever happens on May 19th, all of the members of the legislature will be back to have to make additional program reductions. We are already $8 billion underwater, according to the Legislative Analyst Office, Mac Taylor, and it is not an easy time. But I do have hope, because I know that we've been through hard times before. We should not be asking people whose belts are already tightened to have to tighten them even more. We should ask those who, and I believe in the Robin Hood method of revenue redistribution, that that those that have more should give more, and that we should not be taking MEDAX approaches to the budget. You know, 10% reduction is really a 50 or 60% reduction in many programs. And in those programs in which we would lose federal dollars because we make cuts, I mean, there's an absurdity to the budget process that needs to be asked about. So, you know, but we do have Conan the Barbarian with his sword there that is taking the MEDAX approach to budgeting rather than the surgical scalpel. You know, I would prefer to use a surgical tool to address our budget issues rather than the sword. So with that, I suppose there's not too many secrets about where I stand. I just want you to know that, you know, I will be there for as long as I can be. And I will always be a voice for people who do not have the ability to speak for themselves. But I will also be a voice for helping people get the voice they need to speak for themselves. So thank you again for inviting me tonight.
What a wonderful lady.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it's
you.
Always so wonderful to hear from anybody who self-identifies as a social worker. So all us social workers in the room, give out a cheer for Marie.
Yeah. Oh, well, I cheer you.
Okay. Raffles and sweepstakes. I sort of want to know how many of these there are, just for my own edification as a control freak. Two 50-50s,
sweepstakes,
the Dodger tickets, the two $75 prizes from San Francisco. All right, we're rocking and rolling here. Okay, let's do a 50-50. Who's got one? Guide dogs, wonderful. And who is the
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
Mary Beth.
Excellent. Come on up, Mary Beth. Do a 50-50.
Okay. I want to thank everybody who has purchased a ticket from Guide Dog Users of California this weekend. And the winner of the raffle is going to get a nice prize of $72.
Wow. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well, what's hers is mine.
Just the last three, is it right?
Yes.
Okay, the last three numbers on the ticket are 2, 0, 8.
Linda!
Linda! Hey, congratulations, Linda, and I'll help get help coming back there to give you their money.
Linda O'Neill.
Okay, Linda O'Neill, I like the way you called out. Very good. Let's keep this up. I want real enthusiasm. Okay, how about one of our San Francisco $75 prizes? Now, we have commandeered people following along in the mentoring discussion this afternoon. The chapter has commandeered young Lena to help us give out that $75 prize.
So
will whomever come forward. So who have we got here? We got Liz and...
We got the whole San Francisco chapter up here.
Chapter. Everybody's here. Okay, that's how we do things. La familia.
All for one. That's right. Soprano style.
Oh, should I just announce it?
Yeah.
Oh,
Sam Doherty.
The winner is Sam Doherty.
Oh, yeah.
So we take the money back home. Good deal.
That's your economic stimulus.
Let's do both of them, yeah. All right. The winner is Pamela Apology. Pamela Apology? Oh. Pamela, congratulations. All right. Mr. Tom is giving away shamelessly, raffling off to the highest bidder, tickets to a certain baseball team that has collected reject players from my favorite baseball team and done something with them, actually, surprisingly. Anyway, anybody wants to see a Dodger game? Yes, Jeff.
Now, I have been, and all presidents get this, but I've been criticized for not being dedicated to CCB. But I'm going to show you, I can't think of a more revolting act, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm selling Dodger tickets, and I, the lowest of the low. But anything for CCB, from my perspective.
Oh. What's the Sacramento AAA team?
We're better than that. Sacramento. The River Cats are way better.
They are the West Sacramento River Cats.
That's right. That's right. They're in Yamad Mariko's district.
That's right.
So, we currently have... She shamelessly finally forked over a bid from our second vice president, Mrs. Pomerantz, a bid of $45. So I know there are lots of you out there that bleed Dodger blue. So, 45, do I hear 50, 45, do I hear 50, $45, do I hear 50, 45, going once, oh, come on, this is for CCB, you blue bleeders.
Is Arakawa, what?
What did I hear?
Is Arakawa bidding? Did he bid?
He should. Did I hear 50 out there? I did, okay, 50, do I hear 55, 50, do I hear 55, come on, 50, do I hear 50, Charles, come on, you got, you got ALJ, you got that big money out there? Come on. 50, do I hear 55? We're shameless in this crowd. 50.
It's a good
deal. Do I hear 55? We have four. These are four tickets, you know. Four seats. Any weekday you can go. We have a $55 ticket. All the way from Mississippi. He wants those Dodger seats. 55, do I hear 60? 55, do I hear 60? 55, do I hear 60? 55. Going once.
Los Angeles.
Oh. We have a $60 bid. Do I hear Robin out there? Weekdays. Holidays maybe are excluded, I believe, but it's any weekday game. 60, do I hear 65? 60, do I hear 65? 60, do I hear 65? $60? Oh, what a deal for four. Oh, I hear 65 out there. I heard 65 from, I believe it's Mr. Harmon. Okay, you can't, you know, if you let these BEP vendors have it, you can't do that. Come on, guys. 65, do I hear 70? 65, do I hear 70? 65, do I hear 70? 65, going once. Four tickets? What a deal. Man, the greatest team since $70. $70. Do I hear 75? $70. Do I hear 75? You're going to let some non-vendor beat you out of it? Oh, that is a shame to the BEP program.
70, do I hear 75? 70, do I hear 75? $70. Going once? 75, there you go, Roar, all right, all right. Come on, Jerry, get back in the bidding. Don't let them take those two. You don't have, you know, you got to do something. You got to get life, Jerry. Let's move it. $75. $75. Do I hear 80? $75. Do I hear 80? 75. Going once. What? Sitting alone with your radio. Oh, come on now. $75. Do I hear 80? $75. Do I hear 80? $75. Going once. $75. Going twice. $80. All right. All right. You know. Mr. Calderon has got the $80 bid. You know, I hear those consultants for the city of L.A. make huge dollars. So I would think $85 would be appropriate. Say, forget that, Vince. No way. None of this Viva La Raza for Donna. You're not going to do that. $80 going once. $80. Going twice.
$85.
And.
Did you say 85?
Did I hear an 85?
You said 85.
Did I think I heard an 85 out there? We have a 90. Let's go for an even $100. $90. Going once. Did I hear 100? $90 going twice. $100 from Roy. Okay. $100. $100 going once. $100 going twice. So, oh, no, wait a minute. Did I hear 105? No. Thank you very much.
Let's get those tickets out of here.
You really want to get those out of your bag.
You're darn right I do.
She's paying cash.
Roy Harmon is the winner.
Got the cash right there.
And all I have to say is, hello, my name is Jeff, and I'm addicted to auctioneering.
You got $100 right here.
And,
the treasure.
All right, tickets have been exchanged.
Thank you very much.
Ed?
Hey, all right, we have another 50-50 raffle, right?
It's got the cash for the tickets.
I love coming to this thing.
So, do we have any other giveaways, raffles? Oh, the sweet. Oh, my Lord, the very big sweepstakes. Who's in charge of that?
What happens with the sweepstakes?
You know, the prizes. Does Diana have the prizes? Okay. First prize is that Franklin Dictionary.
First prize is the Franklin Dictionary. And I know a couple who would love to win that.
Oh, Franklin Dictionary would be nice. But I think I'd rather get number three.
I didn't want it.
Don't think
you
should start on the third prize. Actually, I think they do, yeah.
No, Franklin.
Although it sounds like she's
going to
be number one, so I don't know.
I'll be dead, that's right.
George T. Christian.
You don't have to be here to win.
But you don't have to be here to win.
Mr. Christian.
The first made a mutiny on the Bounty, as I recall.
So, yeah.
All right. The second prize is what? Sirius satellite radio. I want it. I'm told that this is a big honking radio, so you're going to have to figure out how to get it home. So, Michelle Mason. Is Michelle here? She's not here. She doesn't have to be here. Oh, now we have to figure out a way to send it to Michelle. Is anybody else here from SLO that can take it to Michelle? Maybe, sort of. Oh, you'll have to mail it. All right. $100 Best Buy gift certificate. This is Best Buy still open,
yes,
by the way? They haven't been.
It's actually a Circuit City.
Winifred Downing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent, excellent. Nothing could be easier to carry. That's great. Fabulous. Now, does that mean we've come to the end of our time together? Yahoo! Was it short enough? Was it long enough? Was it good enough? Was it strong enough? Happy 74 and a half birthday, CCB.
Oh, yes, here's the mic right here.
Let's give a great hand to our MC, Linda Perel. Let's give it up for Linda. And if she ever becomes a police officer again, I know she'll do a better job.